Today's podcast is brought to you by Dell Expert Network. Cyber attacks can destroy businesses, and when data is the driver behind the success of your business, there's nothing more important or worth protecting. Protecting the organization starts with protecting the data, and no one knows this better than Dell Technologies. Join the Dell Expert Network now at www.dell.com/expert network to learn more about how Dell Technologies is partnering with MSPs to offer their broad array of security solutions.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
We're talking about ransomware again. And as long as they keep spreading it out there, we're going to keep talking about it because it is a legitimately important topic. But this time around, we're talking to an individual and a company that has a unique perspective on ransomware and is going to be sharing some data from a recent study that they conducted on the impacts of ransomware. Not indiscriminately or just generically, but talking specifically about ransomware as it is applied to a specific sector, namely the manufacturing sector. And those practicing MSPs out there who, you know, have, I know a lot of you have a lot of manufacturing exposure. Your managed services customers are in the manufacturing sector or have, you know, supply chain to the manufacturing sector. So it's a pretty big, widespread sector that does factor into this, and I thought that the results of this study were pretty interesting, so we asked the folks over at Sophos if they would be able to give us a briefing, and they obliged, and so I'm very happy to have Mr. John Shire, who is the Senior Security Advisor over at Sophos, joining us today and going to talk us about these results. So, John, welcome to the MSP Zone.
Thank you very much, Charles. I'm happy to be on.
So tell me, well, first of all, I think most of our members know who Sophos is, but maybe you could just give us a quick background on yourself and what Sophos has been doing these last couple of years.
Yeah, so at Sophos, I work in the office of the CTO as a researcher, and unlike many of our protection focus groups, right? So we've got the Sophos AI team and the Sophos Labs and our anti-exploit teams. I sort of sit at the nexus and above that to aggregate all that information and really try to understand the context of it all and how it fits within security as an industry and then IT as a whole as well. Understanding that context, understanding where it all fits together also then helps me to provide advice on how to prevent threats and how to protect against cyber criminals and cyber crime activity and all sorts of cyber attacks across our partner and customer ecosystem, as well as talking to the public at large.
I would think that would be an incredibly fascinating job.
It is really fun because there's no area of security that I can't poke around in, and you know, I get to lift a lot of rocks and see what's under there, and whether that's, you know, poking around the dark web or looking at things obviously like ransomware, which we all do these days, looking at different kinds of scams and frauds out there. So yeah, there's a diversity in the things I get to look at, which makes it really interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. So again, we'll talk a little bit maybe at the end about what Sophos is doing, you know, in terms of technologies and things that would be of interest to the MSP market. I know, namely, you know, MDR, Managed Detection Response, is something that's really critical on the minds of a lot of MSPs. But let's first tackle this study. So you guys did a study, I believe it was of 2021 attacks, and you focused on manufacturing, and we'll give a link to the actual study so people can go read it themselves. But one thing that I just thought was it seemed incredibly high. Like this one sector would be so pervasively targeted and hit, but 52% of manufacturing organizations were hit with ransomware in 2021. That, like, I'm hard pressed to think of any other sector that might have a comparable kind of percentage data point for the number of attacks. Any context on that, or any thoughts from your side?
Certainly. So let me just broaden the context a little bit by letting the listeners know that the survey is actually of 5,600 companies across many different sectors, right? So what we've done is we've taken a look specifically at the responses from manufacturing and production respondents, and then analyze that data to see if there was anything interesting. And then we use that to compare against, you know, the cross-sector averages, the global averages that we find. Now, as far as the manufacturing is concerned, yes, it is a fairly high number, but that's against the global average of 66%, right? So accounting for error bars there, I think, you know, it is statistically lower, but it is very much on par with what we've seen within the rest of the sectors that were surveyed, and definitely on, you know, well, even though it's lower, it's definitely on par with the global average. That said, if you look at a separate study that some research that I do separately called the Active Adversary Playbook, which is very specifically looking at incident response investigations, manufacturing is very much overrepresented there and accounts for 73% of all of the attacks that that require incident response. So I think what we can kind of read into that is, on one hand, you've got manufacturing is being hit at rates that are, you know, slightly lower but equaling what the global average is, but it seems that they are also the most likely to require assistance when getting hit, which may also contribute to why we're seeing some of the payment figures that we're seeing.
Is that a severity of the attack issue? Is that the preparedness of the manufacturing sector at large? What are your any conclusions that you've reached?
I think preparedness, by and large, whether it's manufacturing or other industries, it plays a huge part in all of this. The severity of the attacks, I think there is a range. Obviously, the attacks that are crippling an organization that doesn't have reliable backups to restore from, that is obviously more severe and speaks again to the preparedness of the customers, the victims in these cases, right? So yes, definitely preparedness plays a huge role. And I think that with a lot of manufacturing organizations, there is some legacy, there are legacy applications, there's legacy systems that exist in the environment. And having worked now, albeit having worked in that industry many, many years ago, you know, we were always faced with machines that were being provided to us by third parties to control things like CNC lathes and other types of automated machinery that were kind of frozen in time, right? And I would suspect, and I hear this from healthcare and I hear this from manufacturing today, that that is still the case. So you do have these this attack surface that is might be a little bit broader because you do have these machines that are potentially lying with, you know, lying there with vulnerabilities that cannot be patched due to certifications and other peculiarities of the types of things they control.
For those of you younger members of the audience, when John says legacy, he means old.
Right, that's right. Back then for me, it was Windows 3.1. So,
John, you're bringing up a good point, which is like everyone, you know, naturally goes towards banks or medical as high value targets for the ransomware community because it has data and data sets that are really lucrative on the dark web, right? They can sell it, they can monetize those types of things. I don't think of manufacturing in a non-state sponsored, you know, kind of cyber attacker mentality as being necessarily a high value target. But you're maybe changing my opinion here because of these legacy tools that are like they're just maybe sitting ducks and they're not getting patched because no one's writing the patches. And so I mean, and that word probably gets around to the attacker community that says, hey, look. these manufacturing types, they use this type of thing for this type of application. Nobody's touching it. It's unprotected. I mean, is that basically what's going on?
I suspect that there's some of that going on. I think for the most part, what we need to realize is that when it comes to ransomware, the predominant targeting is opportunistic. So it's not like it's not like there aren't groups out there that are specifically going after certain industries, but it's also not like that's the norm, right? If you pull a whole bunch of these ransomware affiliates, and we can get into that a little bit later on, but they'll say, you know, we just scan the internet and we find victims that way. And then some of them just happen to be in this sector. And so we'll go after a whole bunch of them in this sector. Others will buy access from initial access brokers, right? So these are another set of criminals, that's all they do is they scan the internet, they find vulnerable hosts, they breach them, and then they get some sort of persistent access into that network and then resell that access to other criminals. But I think what is also important to sort of bear in mind is the area in which manufacturer plays is very much the supply chain, right? And so with banks and healthcare, so banks have all the money, so yeah, let's go after those guys. Healthcare, they're in the business of protecting people and have a lot of data that is very valuable. And so, you know, there's a more of a sting there potentially when you breach one of those companies, and especially if you steal their data. But then if we look at manufacturing and put it in the context of the supply chain, and then think about what happened to the supply chain during the pandemic, where we had massive disruptions, you know, the chip shortage is still ongoing. There's all sorts of disruptions. Just to give you a little anecdote on the side, I'm a scuba diver, and we couldn't get wetsuits for a good 18 months to 2 years because of supply chain disruptions, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going after a particular sector and something like manufacturing can have far-reaching impacts across other industries and other sectors because of the privileged position they have within the supply chain.
So, yeah, I mean, I hear everything you're saying, and I'm thinking, well, this is, you know, a lot of the MSPs that I know, they really focus on banking, they focus on medical, because those are the areas where they are historically, they have customers, clientele that are aware of their profile for and vulnerability to attack. I'm sensing that manufacturing is and ought to be a higher priority maybe for MSPs to go out and start to develop relationships with them to say, look, just because you may be in a dull industry that from a cyber standpoint, it's not dull from the bad actors. They find you lucrative. They think that you're maybe less protected. Let's do something about it to change.
Absolutely. I think that it's incumbent upon MSPs to, you know, wherever they, whatever region they work in, to be able to look at their market and say, all right, who are the most underserved people from a cybersecurity standpoint, both from, you know, the technology that they may not have adopted or the people that are, you know, actively trying to protect those organizations, and give them a hand. I think that, you know, we've long said that cybersecurity and security in general is a team sport, right? And so we all have to rally around and help each other. And that's exactly what MSPs are there to do. They're there to provide the expertise, the knowledge, the technology that certain organizations aren't able to do themselves for whatever reason. Like it could be money, it could be just resource, you know, people resource constraints, it could be all sorts of things. But at the end of the day, I think MSPs can play a huge role in raising the collective cybersecurity of sectors and, you know, entire industries.
Yeah. Well, I do want to get back to the MDR technology play that you guys have now. There's one thing here. There's a lot. This is a really interesting study, and I really encourage everybody to go download a copy and read it. What caught my attention is this data point call out of less data is recovered after paying the ransom. It seems contrary to popular wisdom that the ransomware community is a business. It's a well-run business in many instances, and they want to, the revenue is key for them. I'm talking about non-state sponsored actors and their motivations, which might be non-monetary. Why is it that less data is recovered after the ransom is paid? Did that shock you? Did that seem normal to you?
I don't think it really shocked me because, so again, if we kind of roll back a little bit to what you were talking about in terms of a business, you definitely, if you're going to be in this business as a criminal, you're going to want to have a proven product and a reliable product. And in this case, it's the decryption key or the ability to provide relief from the encryption that you just imposed on people.
Right, right.
And so you'll want to have trust in that. And so I do believe that that is the stated goal with a lot of these gangs. However, when you look at the realities of what happens when you encrypt a large amount of files in a rapid fashion, and the speed is key in this industry, and you know, the ransomware industry is what I'm talking about. Speed is key. Like, you want to be able to get in and get out as quickly as possible. As a matter of fact, from my active adversary research, ransomware actors really they move twice as fast as regular. I'm using scare quotes here, right? But like regular breaches, right? Regular sort of just random criminals that break into your network. Mm-hmm. The median was 34 days for everything versus it was like 11 days for ransomware, right? So they're moving really quickly. And when you move fast, you break things. I think it's the Silicon Valley mantra for a while, right?
You're saying they make mistakes?
But they make mistakes, right? The code isn't perfect. Insofar as even the Lockbit 3.0 group, either now Lockbit 3.0, but I think they were 2.0 when they announced this, they had a bug bounty program on their software to try to find vulnerabilities and bugs within their software so that they could make their product better.
Classic.
For their affiliates, for their customers, right? So they do break things, and recovery, you know, is not as simple as it seems. It's not just, oh, now that we have the key, we just fire it at our infrastructure and all the files just automatically get restored back to normal. There is some data loss still, according to, you know, because of that. And as you're mangling these files, right, you're not always going to have a perfect restoration of those files. So it is not surprising that all the data is not coming back. And the only true way to restore all of your files with high fidelity is to have reliable, tested backups.
Agreed. I think most MSPs would agree. Whether this sector, the manufacturing industry, understands that, I don't know. I'm trying to piece together and not read too much from your study. But are you getting any data points from the study that they are aware of their vulnerability in this and willing to do something?
Well, so unfortunately, we don't get to ask questions afterwards, which is that's the part of my job where, you know, after doing surveys like this, that's where I would really sink my teeth into that is I'd want to talk to some of these. And so we have to make inferences. And if I look at the use of backups across 3 years, so we've done this survey four times, but 3 years in succession. So I do have some trend data across at least, you know, 3 years. And if we look at the use of backups for restoring data, specifically, if we look at it from I'll look at the global average and then I'll look at the manufacturing average, right? So global average has trended up 56%, 57%, 73% over the last 3 years, right? As far as manufacturing goes, it was 52%, 68%, 58%. So there seems to have been a dip last year between the data reporting year of 2022 and the data reporting year of 2021. And so it seems like the message was getting across that they needed to use backups, but all of a sudden there was an abandonment of 10% of backups maybe. And it's hard to explain, right? But if we then look at the percentage of manufacturing and production that paid ransom year on year between last year and this, you know, the last data reporting year and this data reporting year, it doubled basically. So just about doubled. So it was, so I can kind of read some tea leaves here and go, okay, well, maybe you reduced the amount of backups, but you probably shifted some of that to paying the ransom.
Yeah.
And part of that is due to also cyber insurance covering things like ransoms, where sometimes that is seen as the easiest path to recovery, which is, and in light of the conversation we just had about restoring from, you know, the encryption, the using the decryption keys, that's not always going to get you all the way there. So there's a mixed use very much in play here with a lot of these.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising to me. I accept what you're saying. It's surprising given that they're increasing where, you know, we've had OFAC, you know, Office of Foreign Asset Control, you know,
right,
making it, along with the Treasury Department, you know, statements that look, don't get comfortable paying ransomware, because there may be a time when we start to come after you for, you know, directly financing really bad people on really bad lists. Right. And I you know, and there's a call out of the cyber insurance that apparently this is an industry low. 75% of those manufacturing companies actually have cyber coverage. Do you correlate that low cyber coverage with the increase in payments? Is there a correlation, or is that just unrelated in your opinion?
Yeah, so we can probably make some inferences and correlations here with when we look at cyber insurance, just at the market itself, there was definitely a hardening of that market over the last 2 years. Cyber insurance providers have made the bar to secure a policy much higher by requiring much more robust security, right? So you're going to have things like EDR, XDR, and other tools in place that help you mitigate and reduce the impact of things like ransomware attacks. And then they've also started charging a lot more for the policies themselves. Now, what's really interesting, and what I, if I just put a positive on that, it's at least for once the incentives of insurance companies and the public at large, I think, are somewhat more aligned, right? So the insurance companies never want to pay out, and so they're making it more difficult by improving security, right? So we all want to have improved security, and the insurance companies are helping to drive that somewhat. So that's a net positive, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But if we look at then, you know, look at those conditions and go, okay, well, more technology or you know, more stringent cybersecurity posture is required to secure a policy. And if we think about manufacturing in the context of the earlier part of our conversation, where there's a lot of legacy tools and maybe not a lot of attention is being paid to cybersecurity within manufacturing, then we can maybe infer that there is a lower coverage rate, and that would account for that number potentially. And yeah, then as far as, you know, the payment itself, right? So six of one, half a dozen of the other, I think there's the insurance payment, the insurance providers themselves might opt to pay. Sometimes it's the manufacturers or the, you know, the victims that are opting to pay. So that one's a little tougher to tease out.
So I want to shift a little bit to the MDR topic, and we may have to get our mutual friend Scott Barlow to join the program and talk about this, because I know he's the channel guy. You kind of are on the analyst side. So talk to me about what your guys' view at Sophos is on the MDR. How long has that product been out? And obviously, I'm assuming there is going to be a channel play for MSPs to leverage that type of technology. Can you speak to that briefly?
Certainly. So the MDR product that we're launching and announcing right now, that is available for people to consume right now, is really just an extension of what we used to call MTR, Managed Threat Response. But the key difference here is that we are delivering it to customers where they can consume it in one of two ways, right? So there's either using the customer's existing technology that we will then use third-party integrations to pull data into our environment to provide that contextual view and correlational view of all the data. And then there's the services delivery where they are using Sophos technology, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's sort of one of two ways that they can go about that, or they can mix the two, right? So they can have some Sophos technology, or they can have third-party integrations. But we're not going to force anybody into one particular way. So the previous method or the previous model that we had was really you had to consume Sophos technology to benefit from our MTR service. But the MDR that we're presenting to people today is giving them that option and that flexibility, more importantly, to be able to combine the strength of both models, which is the bespoke Sophos technology and the other third-party integrations that they may already have within their environment that they know how to manage well and that they are able to feed into the system.
So just to be clear, so if an MSP's got a manufacturing customer and they're using brand X, firewalls, anti-phishing, technology already embedded, that in theory could still work within the Sophos MDR platform. It would just aggregate that data through some method, API, whatever, and then ingest the data, and then your technology analyzes it from there.
That's exactly correct. Yes. So we're going to have integrations for many, many of our competing technologies out there, and they're going to be under different umbrellas of technology, if you will, right? So you mentioned firewalls, but we're also going to be able to do endpoint protection and EDR vendors. We're going to be able to do email and web. We're going to be able to do authentication providers as well. So there is a broad set of capabilities within the MDR service that we can integrate into. And then just having that broad set of capabilities mean we have broad visibility, and that then provides the greater opportunity for context and correlation and being able to spot things that are happening within your network.
Interesting. Yeah, I actually have like probably half a dozen or more questions just on that. So I'll probably reach back out to Scott and get him on the program, because I don't want to belabor you with stuff. But I do want to get back to the study here. And one final question, which is, the manufacturing production has below average ransom payout rates. So if they're getting hit maybe harder or more aggressively from 2020 to 2021, but they're paying out lower amounts, why that outcome, in your opinion?
So I believe the payout rate is related to what we are discussing with respect to cyber insurance, and having being able to secure a policy means that you have to reach this higher bar, or at least surpass this bar of a minimum threshold of cybersecurity capabilities. And seeing as in many respects manufacturing has struggled to keep up with that part of the deal, right? That means that the cyber insurance cover that they're going to get isn't necessarily going to be able to pay out in all instances or for the entire amounts. So when you look at your policies and you see, okay, well, if you meet this particular threshold, then we'll pay out 100%. Well, if you're below that threshold, we may only pay out at 80%. And there'll be other carve-outs that says we're not going to pay in the event that we find, for example, that you had RDP, remote desktop protocol hosts available to the outside world, and you had vulnerable servers that were web servers that were easily exploitable, then we're not going to pay out in those cases, because that's going to be considered that you didn't do any mitigations, or you didn't at least put your best foot forward. So when it comes to the payout rates, I think you can we can draw at least a squiggly line from those payout rates to the cyber insurance cover. And then, just broadly infer that with manufacturing and production specifically, they do lack some of the capabilities that other industries might not.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I mean, the whole study is just fascinating. And I certainly appreciate, John, your perspective and analysis. And I think that one takeaway of several that I have had just talking to you and listening to you is MSPs definitely have an opportunity within the manufacturing industry. I think that there's there's definite demand there. I think that if the manufacturing sector is not actively adopting things like MDR, that they ought to. And if MSPs don't have that capability yet, maybe going to a company like Sophos and getting hooked up with you guys and delivering that is probably something that all MSPs ought to do. I think especially near the end of 2022, I can't think of lack of MDR offering being very commercially viable moving forward. Like, meaning you better have yep. MDR in 2023 or you're going to be losing.
Certainly. Yeah. And you're going to hear this term a lot, and you know, we're starting to use it as well, but you know, eyes on glass, right? That is just the requirement nowadays. So a couple of years ago, I would be talking about when I'm talking to the public or to companies, you know, hey, you need to have the capability to have visibility into all of your organization, and then you need to be able to investigate signals, suspicious signals, as and when they occur, to ensure that you're not having, you know, you're not in the middle of an attack, for example. And now it's just gotten, and that was probably a nice to have a couple of years ago. Now it's just a must-have. It's a requirement. People need to be looking at the environment 24/7. There was just anecdote. We investigated a ransomware attack by Black Cat ransomware. And in this circumstance, unfortunately, the victim had to pay. They just that was, you know, their only recourse into getting their data back. But the upshot, I guess, is that we got a bit of like a pen test style report. It was written in Notepad, but so it wasn't very fancy. But it sort of outlined why and how the group was able to breach this particular victim. And one of the things they kept coming back to was the fact that nobody was paying attention. Nobody was actually looking at the environment 24/7, or at least they don't do on the weekends, was a bit of a quote from that as well, right? So there was, even though they might be looking during the business hours, the weekend was when all bets were off. And make no mistake, cyber criminals will take advantage of all of these little opportunities that you give them. They will pay attention to what time zone you're in. They will pay attention to, and if they have enough penetration, which most of them eventually do, who's online at what times. And they'll strike when you're least likely to know. So things like MDR, and by extension, part of MDR is SDR, right? Is the product itself that underlies the service. You have to use that if you have it. And we do talk to a lot of people who have things like EDR and NDR products, but they don't actually leverage them to their full effect, which means if you spot something, you know, suspicious, go in threat hunt, go and investigate. And so because of that, it opportunity for cyber criminals. But the greater picture here is not everybody has that capability, right? Not everybody has the resources to be able to do that. And that's precisely where MSPs come in. That's precisely where MDR services come in, is to lend that help, is to, you know, be that team player. You know, crime's been organized for a long time. You know, we need to organize ourselves into a more resilient machine that is able to combat these guys.
I think that's the quote of the week, John. Hackers work the weekends. and so must the MSPs.
Absolutely.
Well, John Shire, Senior Security Advisor at Sophos. John, thank you so much for joining us on the MSP Zone, and really appreciate your perspective. Keep up the great work that you're doing over there along with the rest of the team at Sophos, and definitely welcome you back on the program anytime you guys have new analysis or anything that's of interest to this sector, because I found this conversation really enlightening, and definitely appreciate your perspective.
Well, thank you very much, Charles. It was my pleasure to be on.
That's it, folks. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.